you traveling all right, mate?
Still, I'm all right.
You're fired
right.
up. You had your cup of coffee. You're
I've had
fired
a cup,
up.
Two cups, hey? And I'm ready to go. Okay. No doof doof music's going to take me off my game, Ray.
Phil Moss is on the line. Mossy, good morning.
He likes doof doof, I reckon, Mossy. Mossy, I was kept awake all night, two doors down, doof doof party.
He's not happy, Mossy. He's not happy.
I'm irritable.
I can't believe. Well, where are the days where you would have gone and joined us?
Good point. Yeah,
these
good
days point. I ring the cops at 10 o'clock saying, get down there, it's 10 p.m. When's a man supposed to sleep?
I did see a quote the other day that when we were younger, we looked for every excuse to escape home to go to a party. Now we've reversed it.
That's a really good, exactly. That's a good point. Yeah. Mm. Hey, Mossy, can we go to some of these international friendlies just quickly? Brazil have beaten England at Wembley 1-0 and Germany have beaten France 2-0.
Yeah, that's right. And don't forget, Germany are gearing up to host the Euros mid-June to mid-July. So big result for... For Germany to give them confidence going into those Euros, but it's a strange time for friendlies. It's a FIFA window, that's why they're on. But for the players, you know, obviously friendlies are friendlies. You know, they do count towards FIFA rankings to some degree, but I think the key thing for international players at this time is don't get injured, because the pointy end of their club seasons is coming up and then it goes straight into the Euros. So, really interesting time. But I think the other one was Ireland holding Belgium to a scoreless draw overnight. That's a pretty good result for Ireland, who have qualified for the Euros, and Switzerland held Denmark to a 0-0 draw as well. So you can't put too much emphasis on these results for the reasons I just spoke about, but certainly that result for Germany is a big one, given that they're going to be hosting the big tournament.
Mossy, what about the Socceroos defeated Lebanon? But it did come at a cost.
It did. Two injuries on the left-hand side, Jordan Boss and Riley McGree both went off in the first half. So that's not great for Graham Arnold going down to Canberra. Those two players have headed back to their clubs for treatment. But he's brought in Joel King from Sydney FC, the left fullback, who's had a taste of Socceroos camps. He's got a handful of caps as well, been doing well for Sydney FC. So he'll give some cover on the left-hand side on Tuesday night in Canberra. But, critical we go into that one. Keep a clean sheet, win the game again, top the group, and head into the third and final stage of qualification for the 2026 World Cup.
Just on that, Australia $1.12 to beat Lebanon, who are $21 for that game in Canberra. Hope we get the job done. What does victory then mean for the Socceroos going forward?
Yeah, through to the next round, which is the final round, Ray. And, it's... I think we've got... if we finish top three of that group, then we go through to the next World Cup, which nothing comes easy. Nothing comes for free in international football. But... we're hot favourites to go through. We've got 4.5 extra spots for the next World Cup, which goes to 48 teams. So really, it's just about how we navigate it. It's about building towards that next World Cup, finding the balance between building the depth in the squad and getting the results that we need to get through. I thought the other night there was some really good periods of play from the Socceroos, and the mitigating circumstance for the lack of probably rhythm in the game was Lebanon and their tactics going to ground and getting the referee to stop the game while they got treatment. Well, 9 times out of 10, no trainers came on the pitch, but it just halted the game. And that's really frustrating for the opposition team. And it was a clear tactic from Lebanon. So let's hope the game's a little bit more free-flowing on Tuesday night in Canberra.
Mossy, there's no escaping the problems at the A-League are encountering at the moment with finances, etc. Newcastle Jets at the centre of it. Run us through what's going to unfold and how deep are the concerns around the future of A-League?
Yeah, well, look, mixed news over the last few days. First of all, the good news, Stan Lazaridi, Socceroos legend, has rejoined Perth Glory as the director of football. So some exciting news there. And when someone like Stan puts his faith in the A-League, he's a very, very smart businessman. So he's been brought into Perth Glory by new owner Ross Pellegra to run the football department. I think that's a really astute move. So there's green shoots, there's positive signs, there's no doubt. But the big headlines, as you said, Bulldog, and we can't escape them, is Newcastle Jets, which is a foundation A-League club, rich history in the old National Soccer League as well, a rich nursery for Socceroos and players who have gone overseas and made great careers for themselves. We cannot afford for Newcastle Jets to not survive. But there's more questions than answers at the moment, and I think the books need to be opened. The APL need to support. They've come out during the week and said that they won't prop any clubs up anymore, so it's up to them to find new owners. And Shane Matiski, the CEO at Newcastle, has said that the sale process is coming along. It's been going since October last year. So, look, it's high time that new owners were found and the club can get on with things. I feel for Robbie Stanton, the fans, and of course, the players, because all things point towards a wooden spoon at the moment because of what's happening off the field as well.
So what needs to be done? Obviously, I need a major financial backer, but for the A-League at large, what's the panacea, do you think, Mossy?
Well, I think our old friend Robbie Slater's come out during the week and demanded that the APL open their books and that the FA need to take back control of the A-League. I think there's some truth in that, and you can only go from the facts. And the facts are that Silver Lake came in with a private equity firm, came in with a lot of money a couple of years ago, and there's really no evidence of where that money's gone, apart from the Keep Up app, which has been an abject failure, and all the staff have gone now who were feeding that app, which is a very sad situation. But I think everyone just needs clarity, and we need to understand where the money's going to come from and how it's going to be spent moving forward with a good 5 to 10 year strategy. That's going to get us back in the positive and help us get fans back in the grounds, because the average crowds at the moment aren't brilliant. TV ratings have gone up from what I understand. There's a lot of issues that need ironing out. There's no doubt about that.
You know, Ray, about six times this week I went to my front door, opened up, see if there's anything on my front doorstep. Nothing. I just thought maybe that I shouted the entire cab home with Mossy from the Big Sports Breakfast Lunch.
Oh, when were you going?
He might have thought, you know what, when he woke up, might have felt a bit bad that Bulldog paid for the whole thing, and he might have just, I don't know, reimbursed me, maybe slipped a lobster in the letterbox.
A carton there or something?
Yeah, carton. Six-pack. Bubkus. Nothing.
Ray.
Didn't strike a blow.
My retort to that is, you've known Bulldog a long time, and you know that he never lets the facts get in the way of a good story, because that is a complete lie. That is fake news.
Anyway, Mossy, we're going to go to the news.
Yeah, let's hope there's some more truth in that news than what you just gave everyone. Take care, guys. Have a great day.
We'll talk next week, Mossy.